In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church, I'm delighted to welcome you all here this morning on, watching online, and also to the faithful remnant that are in the sanctuary here this morning. I asked a few people to show up so I'm not preaching to an empty sanctuary. My name is Andy Burr, and I am the interim pastor here. This is my first time at the pulpit here in the sanctuary. And again, I'm just delighted to be here. And it's a joy to be leading worship with everybody here. Thanks to you all. I have some announcements. We will be lighting the Christ candle shortly. So please, if you're able, get one at home that you can light and join with us. If you have prayer requests that you would like included after the sermon, please send them to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. There'll be a post-worship fellowship by Zoom, which has its own Zoom link. Is that correct? And that can be found in the link. And the coordinating council is seeking nominations for people to serve on the transition team. The hope is that every member of the congregation will submit, Lane, you know, three people that can be nominated for this, to be to this transition team. And the idea is to have people that you consider wise, not necessarily the brightest or the most accomplished, but somebody you consider wise and grounded in their faith, somebody you would, at the coffee hour, have a conversation with that's deeper than chit-chat, and whose opinion you value. If you could get those to admin@firstchurchnatick by March 2nd, then the coordinating council can choose those members at its meeting following that. Sarah Lynn, are you talking about the Super Bowl?
All right. Well, we are in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. We are almost at the end. You have until the end of the sermon today to make your final donations. So let's see where we are. You know you're on a team. Everyone's on a team. If you live north of Route 135, you are a polar bear. If you live south of Route 135, you are a penguin. You can give at yougivegoods.com, Natick Super Bowl 2022, or you can go on the church website, and there's a line there that you can make some donations. So let's see where we are. Advance the slide. The Penguins are still ahead at almost $2,000, $1,935 donated to the Service Council. The Polar Bears are not very far behind. Come on, Polar Bears. $1,384. So we had set a goal of $3,000 for this, and we're almost there. So we may be even over it. So we have done our job, but it would be great to do a little bit more. There will be an update after Andy gives the benediction today. So tune in for the end of the service to hear how we finish today. And then I do want to invite you all to join us for our soul sabbatical, which is starting February 28th. It's actually starting before Ash Wednesday. This is a time when you can share conversation and connections with people in the congregation. And this series centers on Matthew 25, where Jesus describes where we will find him in the hungry, the thirsty, the poor, the stranger, the sick, the imprisoned. And then look at how it's affected by climate change, right? Who makes those, and climate change affects all of those people who are in the margins already even more. And so we're gonna be looking at that and kind of what our response to that should be. So that is an 8-week session, an 8-week series. It's fabulous. It was written by Emma Brewer Wallen, who is the environmental minister for the UCC, for our conference, the Southern New England Conference of the UCC. It's really a fabulous Bible study that I invite you all to join us. Stay tuned. We're not sure if it's going to be live in person or if it's going to be by Zoom, but we will have that determined by the end of this week. And you can get those materials after Wednesday from the office. We can email them as a PDF to you, or you can pick up a hard copy here after Wednesday. So I hope to see a lot of you involved in our soul sabbatical this year. Thank you.
Is there anybody of the 10 people here that have an announcement? It looks like not. So now we take time in our service to light the Christ candle. We light it to invoke God's presence. We light it to remember that Christ is the light of the world, and we light it to remember that we are called to bring that light to the world.
Join us in the call to celebration. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the realm of God.
We are each a child of God, no matter who we are or where we are on life's journey, we are blessed.
Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled.
We come to worship the God who feeds us, who fills us, and who blesses us.
Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh.
Let us rejoice in the love of God and worship our God together in prayer, song, and praise.
Join me in the opening prayer as we say together, O God of many blessings, be with us in our joy and in our sorrow. Help us to reach out with your love to those in need, that we may not be satisfied until all are fed. Bless each of us here and all who cannot be present with us today. Shower your blessings on our worship as we pray all this in the name of Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
You got it. I invite you now to share a sign of Christ's peace with one another in ways which are comfortable to you. We are blessed people, blessed by God, blessed to serve God, blessed with all that we need. Remember all that we have been blessed with. I'm remembering my mother quoting to me from Luke, those to whom much have been given, much will be expected. remembering those words, let us continue to worship God with our offerings. They may be sent to the church by mail, or please go to our website, firstchurchnatick.org, where a contribution can be made. Let's join our hearts and voices together as we pray. Gracious and loving God, who blesses us with so many good gifts, we bring these offerings with the hope of turning tears to laughter and sorrow to joy. May they truly be a blessing. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed out of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. Here ends the reading for today.
Interestingly, this story comes from Psychology Today. It goes like this. One day after school, a young girl noticed that her mom was cutting the ends off the pot roast before putting it in the oven to cook for dinner. She had seen her mother do this many times before, but had never asked her why. So this time she asked, and her mom replied, "I don't know why I cut the ends off the pot roast, but it's what my mother always did. Why don't you ask your grandma?" So she called grandma and said, "Grandma, why do you cut the ends off the pot roast before putting it in the oven?" "I don't know," she said. "That's just the way my mom always cooked it. Why don't you go ask her?" So, undeterred, the girl called her great-grandmother, who was living in a nursing home, and asked her the same question: "Why do you cut the ends off the pot roast before cooking it?" And her great-grandmother didn't reply right away. And then she said, "Well, when I was first married, we had an old-fashioned oven, very small, and the pot roast didn't fit in the oven unless I cut the ends off." Away we go from the wafting aroma of a pot roast in Grandma's kitchen to think about Luke's lesson for us today. It's a challenging bit of text, at least for me anyway, and perhaps for many of you. Jesus has come down from the top of the mountain where he had gone to pray, and he begins to speak, to preach what is known as the Sermon on the Plain. He begins with the Beatitudes, a series of blessings, and it was a common way of talking that the people in the crowd around him would have recognized. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the realm of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, but will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is in heaven." That sounds like good news to us this morning, doesn't it? I mean, good news, not really specifically for me, but it's good news for somebody. It's good news for those who aren't as privileged as me, for those who are poor, for those who are hungry, those who are grieving or despairing, because it means that their poverty and hunger and despair isn't all that God has in store for them. God has a very special relationship with the crying and the hungry, the poor and grieving and despairing in a very special and powerful way. God will look after them and companion them all the steps on their journey. For me, and many of you, I think, it would be fine if the reading ended right there. It would be a nice, tidy sermon, and we could leave here and join others in Grandma's kitchen, enjoying the narrow pot roast dinner and a big bowl of mashed potatoes with a big pool of butter melted on top. But Luke doesn't end Jesus' sermon right there. Jesus doesn't end his sermon right there. He often adds those words of challenge that get under our skin and challenge us too. He keeps preaching, you know, as preachers do. He goes on to speak words that don't really sound like good news to me one little bit. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for that is what their ancestor did to the false prophets. It's hard for somebody like you, and many people like you, I presume, to find a whole lot of good news in that section of our text. Woe to you who are rich. Well, that's me, I must admit. I may not have everything that I want, but I certainly have way, way more than I need. You saw my salary last week in the annual report. According to one source, get this, I'm among the top 16% of people in the United States based on that salary. Not the world, which would shove me up there, but 16% of the wealthiest people in the United States. Me, a poor mendicant friar. Woe to you who are full. Let's just say that I have never met a breakfast buffet with all you can eat bacon that I haven't loved. Woe to you who laugh now. Of course, like you, I've had hard times. I've had times of grief and struggle, but life is pretty good for me. I've just begun my ministry here, and my life is filled with love and laughter, fulfillment and challenge. Woe to you when people speak well of you. I don't know about you, but I do my best to work hard, and I enjoy when people speak well of me. I can't seem to escape it. These woes are aimed directly at me. Yikes, that doesn't feel like good news at all. So what am I to understand from this passage? What are we to understand from this passage? Jesus' sermon on the plain is about blessings and woes, Or as one pastor suggested, those who are honorable and those who are shameless. It's not prescriptive, telling us what we need to do to be blessed. Rather, Jesus is preaching both to people who are blessed and others who have woes. Perhaps the sermon isn't really about one or the other, but rather about all of us. Then I noticed the crowd around Jesus. Did you? Luke tells us that Jesus is surrounded by people from all over the area, from Judea and Jerusalem, they were the Jews, but also from Tyre and Sidon, and they weren't Jews. They were Gentiles. Everyone who came close to Jesus felt his power and was healed. Healed from leprosy and other diseases. Everyone, insiders, outsiders, rich, poor, those that we would call sinners, those that we would call winners, those that we would call losers, the honorable and the shameless, they were all there in the crowd around Jesus. That's part of the facts of life as well, the facts of life that Jesus was setting out to change. The facts of life that are new, exciting, creative, and not because we've always done it that way. Because we too are in that crowd around Jesus, and sometimes we're up and we're well fed and content and happy. That's great. And God thinks so too, but the only place for us to go from there is down. Jesus' sermon is about God and what God is doing in our lives. Jesus' sermon is about the nature of God. Jesus' sermon is about a radical change in the rules as we understand them. God is kind and generous, not just to some, but to everyone. And God is kind and generous to those who are grateful, to those that are ungrateful, and to the wicked. Deep down inside of me, I have to admit that my Sunday school faith is still there. That Sunday school faith that tells me that, you know, since God is good, the wicked will be punished, and the naughty will end up in the timeout chair. But that's all wrong, Jesus is telling us. Jesus is saying, that's the old way of thinking, the way you've always done it, a way of thinking that needs to be challenged, a way of thinking that needs to be changed. The facts about God that those folks on the plane thought they knew simply weren't true. You don't need to cut the ends off your pot roast anymore. If you think you understand the nature of God, Jesus says, think again. Of course, it's easy to be kind to those who are grateful for the kindnesses that we heap upon them. And of course, it's easy to do things for nice people. Thank God that God is different than us. Each of us can be and are blessed, and each of us will have woes. We are sometimes poor, hungry, weeping. Sometimes we're rich, full, and laughing. And God is with us always. Wherever we are on life's journey, the oven of God's love, in which we are formed as disciples, is deep and wide. An oven that we don't need to cut our ends off to fit into, as we are baked in God's love. As I prayed with this text this week, I suddenly stopped seeing Jesus' blessings and woes as advice. As prescriptions for how I, or we, are to live, as ways of being that we ought to emulate. I stopped hearing Jesus' words as approval for those who are struggling and condemnation for those whose life is easy. I stopped hearing his words as prophecies of some cataclysmic end times cosmic reversal, with those on the bottom up to the top, and those on the top down to the bottom. The facts of life changed in a moment for those people gathered there on the plain. And the facts of life for us change in a moment when we really, really hear the gospel and integrate its truth into our daily lives. Jesus is simply telling us how things really are now, today. Not generations ago when we cut the ends off our pot roasts. We don't have to do things just because we've always done it that way. Just like our scripture reading last week, this one is a perfect lesson for our interim time, for what's ahead of us. This morning, today, February 13th, right here in Natick, Massachusetts, and wherever you all are, Jesus is telling us that we don't always have to do it that way. Jesus is telling us the same thing as Pastor John Robinson told the pilgrims. I am verily persuaded the Lord hath more truth and light yet to break forth from his holy word. Friends, siblings, God is still speaking to us right here, right now. During this interim time, I'm wondering who among us will muster the necessary courage and, with the rest of the congregation, imagine and envision a bold new way to transition us from here to there. a bold new way to transition from the ministry of one beloved pastor to the person, the pastor and teacher, whom God will be calling to minister among you right here. Who among you has the courage and willingness to stop cutting the ends off the pot roast? In other words, to put aside the "because we've always done it that way" thinking, so that the First Congregational Church of Natick can move in to the future to which God is calling you. Now, please, make no mistake. To faithfully discern that future to which God is calling you takes each and every one of you. Honestly, to join in and discern God's future. God is calling you, each and every one, to join in and contribute to the processes that the transition team will devise so the local church profile can be completed. If you want the next phase of your life together as a faith community, if you pray for the best ministry of the pastor who's to come next, you need to understand that this interim time, this transition time, is not a spectator sport. Who among you has the courage and the willingness to stop cutting the ends off the pot roast? To put aside that "because we've always done it that way" thinking, so that this church, the First Congregational Church of Natick, United Church of Christ, can move into the future to which God is calling you. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown the ancient church's story, bring its bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. Amen. Thank you. As we join in this time of prayer together, I ask that you keep on your hearts all those folks who are listed in the bulletin this morning. For members of our community who have been affected by COVID, whether they've had it themselves, whether family members have had it, whether they're on the front lines. The people of Ukraine and the people of Russia, who will certainly have family members die. For leaders around the world, may God grant them courage and wisdom and the time to know restraint. We ask for prayers for the family of Grace Osgood, and especially prayers of comfort for her daughters Deb and Allison and her grandson Jared. Would you please join your hearts with mine in prayer? compassionate God. You blessed the poor and healed those left to beg for their livelihoods. And yet we are still surrounded by poverty and financial difficulties. Support those who face struggles at work or for whom employment or income is uncertain. Help us to provide for those who beg for their livelihoods today, that they may be cared for when forced off the streets by winter storms. Deliver and heal your children, loving God. Abundant God, you blessed the hungry and fed thousands. But famine is still a problem for the world. Worse, starvation is used as a weapon of war and claims the lives of many thousands of children in conflict zones. Be with those seeking peace or delivering aid to the millions facing starvation today. Deliver and feed your children, loving God. Comforting God, you blessed those who wept and consoled those who grieved. Be with those who have lost family and friends in outbreaks of violence. Be with us here today when we face loss and disappointment. Deliver and support your children, loving God. All-embracing God, you blessed the broken and the lonely, and you brought them into your circle of love. You welcomed the excluded, and you made time for those whom others told you to ignore. Bless us today, we pray, when we are broken and lonely. Bring us into your family of love and prompt us to share your love with those around us, welcoming, including, noticing others' needs. Deliver and heal your children, loving God. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our brother and teacher, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
In my heart, in my heart.
as individuals, as God's children, or as a faith community, God's gathered, we all have narrow pot roasts in our souls. God calls us to become everything that we are called to be and stop cutting the ends of our pot roasts. Remembering the good news, go from this place loving God so much that you love nothing else too much, and fearing God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen.
Okay, so we are at the end of the Super Bowl. There's your drum roll. Mark Dixon's not with us today. So we have a total. And once again, the Penguins are on top of the game. So the Penguins, yay! The Penguins have raised $1,980. Wow. And the Polar Bears raised $1,395 for a total of $3,375 of food that will be delivered to the Natick Service Council in the coming weeks. So we want to thank everyone who is a part of the game. Woo! Everybody's a winner in this game. And so we really appreciate all of that participation and the fun of the Super Bowl. So thank you.